panuwarado sa wakwego. Tanya dahas kigo, then on zewa dahun sadache, ungahuwen na hadiwa notas. Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oska dewa nyawar Oska, ne jota FM, CFRC.
7 o'clock, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. And this is like the final hour?
Yes, second hour of Aboriginal Voices.
The final countdown.
Oh.
No.
It's the first show for March.
Oh.
We have four shows in March. You're down
this
one.
This is the first one. So, anyways, it's still 7. Well, it's 7:01 now. What do you want to hear about? Anything?
Yes.
You told me that I only had a limited amount of time. So
you do. You have about another 4.5 minutes.
So apparently, Canada Nickel signs agreement with three Northern Ontario First Nations. You say what? Canada Nickel says the new agreement signed with three Northern Ontario First Nations represents a significant step forward. The agreement on the Crawford Nickel Sulfide Project was signed on Monday by three members of the Waban Tribal Council, Metagami, Metchowin, and the Flying Post First Nation. I want to go there.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've never heard of that.
I wonder why it's got a flying post.
Well, because they would fly in past the post. Who knows?
All right.
Land in the water.
It's probably not why. Oh. The project located 42 kilometers north of Timmins will provide nickel for the electric vehicle and stainless steel markets.
So it's way up north.
Way up north. Way, way up.
Yeah.
The agreement sets the framework. Oh, it's always the framework. The agreement sets the framework for early business and employment opportunities while the parties continue to work towards a comprehensive impact benefits agreement. The mining company said in the news release. That's what they said. The agreement includes commitments for open book negotiations on key contracting opportunities, including the construction of a 25.2-kilometer railway. Ooh, railway. The relocation of Highway 655 and the construction of temporary overpass on Highway 655. So they get a new train?
They get a new train and an overpass.
Now, is that one of those CN trains?
Oh.
Or is it a VIA?
Oh. Or CP.
Well, yeah, CN and CP aren't they?
They're different.
Well, they're kind of the same.
Yeah. Freight trains.
Freight trains.
Yeah, probably freight trains.
Not people trains.
They're not likely going to get... Well, they might have one car for the people. And all the rest of the cars will be for...
it's probably these people. It'll be a high-end or...
They fly in. Because it's a flying
like the Wild Wild West. Remember the Wild Wild West train?
I do. Yeah. Out of control most of the time, I think.
No, it worked all the time.
Oh, okay.
They were like old-timey Western spies.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the day. Okay. The agreement gives First Nations owned business is a priority when it comes to contracts and specialized training for local skills development. Hmm. Well, good for them, I guess. Right, Douglas?
It is good, yeah. Well, it's good in one sense that they're getting a train track that'll get
into
their community.
They're getting car stuff too. They're going to get
that's
car.
Right. But
road.
I got to ask about the mining part.
They're going to get a
highway.
Are they
going to be where are the caribou migration routes?
The caribou roam.
The caribou migration routes.
Roam. It doesn't say anything in there.
No.
About that, because of its what do you call it? It's an agreement, commitment. What is
it? Yeah, it's just an agreement in principle.
Framework. It's a framework.
A framework. Oh, okay.
That's what I was looking for. A framework. So they could pull out any time now, like them First Nations could pull out any time now.
Oh, that's good.
They could?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they see any shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
they could pull out.
Good. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Well, I think that maybe they could use the framework that that Natan talked about earlier in the first hour. Uh-huh. About the framework for the Nunavut and Inuit governance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's another one. Good.
So that's going on up there in Timmins.
Mm. Okay, so I have another special for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, I got a little bit about the far north. We're gonna go and find out a bit about it, but
that'll be awesome.
Gonna have the jerry cans are going to be singing for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Natan Obed is going to introduce everything for us. And it was an announcement that was made on February 27th. And, so we're going to have the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. He's going to talk for a short time. And
How do I get him?
Well, it comes with the agreement because it's an agreement for the Far North, but also the president of the Inuit organization from the Far North. He is so excited. I wish we could see the video. It was on CPAC at the time when that's where we got it. And it's amazing. So we're going to start off Natan Obed, and then right after that, we're going to have jerry cans. Then a couple of promos for people to listen to about what's happening around here at CFRC, and then jerry cans, and we'll see you in a while. Because I really like listening to this story. Hope you enjoy it.
Unisakut. My name is Natan Obed. I am president of Inuit Tapari Kanatami. And for today, I'm the head cheerleader for this announcement that we are all here to witness between the Kikitani Inuit Association, the Government of Canada, through the Prime Minister, and the donor community. I want to start by recognizing the people in the room, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, President Hulai Akrisuk. Also, we have Jeremy Tunaluk here, President of Nunavut Tungavik. And then all of you who have made this possible, any other elected officials, and especially from the NGO and the philanthropic communities, wonderful that we could all do this together. Starting in the 1970s, Inuit struck out to create modern comprehensive land claim agreements, or modern treaties as we call them. And that started with land use and occupancy studies. We had to justify that we in fact own the land, that we have an unbroken bond with the land from before Canada was a confederation until the very present day. We satisfied all of those requirements. We created modern treaties, and we are now implementing those modern treaties. Over 40% of Canada's landmass, over 70% of Canada's coastline, 8% of the world's fresh water resides within the comprehensive claim areas of our modern treaties. And with that comes great responsibility. Not only that we as Inuit share with all living things and the natural environment that that sustains us, but also the relationships that we have with the Crown and also the relationships that we have with the global community. We align on areas of conservation. We align on areas of economic development. We want the best for Inuit Nunangat, which is what we call our homeland. And that comes in many different constructive arrangements. So the agreements that we are here to celebrate today are great examples of the way Inuit have worked constructively with Canada as a nation state to ensure that we can protect our oceans, we can protect our terrestrial lands, and that we as Inuit can self-determine throughout all that process, the way in which we choose to fit within this country, and the way that our ideals about what you might call conservation or protection can be translated within an Inuit context, and that we can create an Inuit-specific reality for that, what that looks like within Canada. So I'm so proud to see all of this in action, and it's not possible without leadership. So the leadership from Nunavut Tungavik, from Kikitani Inuit Association, from the Government of Canada through the Prime Minister and ministers responsible, but also from the global community, because I know this has come together as a shared area of interest. I want to pause and just thank this Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, for the reconciliation work that he has done with Inuit over these past 10 years. We have moved the bar when it comes to the implementation of our existing rights, the implementation of our land claim agreements, the imagination of what's possible in the areas of conservation and environmentalism, and the acceptance that climate change is real and that we have to mitigate and adapt to any possible way we can to the worst effects that it might have on our homeland, Inuit Nunangat. This also is not just one person. We want to thank all ministers and all deputies and all people who are responsible for these decisions within line departments to ensure that we could have a whole of government response to what Inuit have articulated in this case as a whole of government need. Justin Trudeau is known to Inuit from the time he was a young boy. I've heard hundreds of Inuit say that they babysat the Prime Minister. And I think the interpretation I think of that from our communities, from when the Prime Minister visits Inuit Nunangat, is not an association with a person, but a connection with a community. And Inuit have seen you as an ally and have seen you as a part of our community. And we now see this in the way in which you are spending your time and spending your focus to ensure that Inuit Nunangat receives greater protection and that Inuit are benefiting from it as well. With that, I'd like to introduce the Prime Minister to the podium.
Bonjour tout le monde. Hello everyone. Merci de vous joindre à Nathan, Olayok, Caroline, Mike et moi pour une annonce qu'on fait à Montréal.
For an announcement that we're making here in Montreal concerning the whole country,
particulièrement
and particularly the Canadian North.
Le Nord, c'est un endroit exceptionnel.
The North is an exceptional area with
des paysages uniques,
almost fantastic animals, unique
comme Nathan a dit,
landscapes where the water and ice meet. During my first visit with my father, I was quite impressed. It was him that I learned to love the landscapes, the climate, and in particular, the people of the North.
C'est pour ça d'ailleurs que depuis des années maintenant,
for years now, every time I go up north, I try to bring one of my children with me so that they may also discover all the beauty of this incredible place. I think you'll understand that the Canadian North, well, I have it hard, but it's also a priority for our government. We're talking about sovereignty, we're talking about strengthening our military presence, or, as is the case today, we're talking about creating good jobs and to protect the environment at the same time. Guided by those who have cared for those lands since time immemorial, the Inuit, we will protect this extraordinary place and all those who live there. Today, we are announcing very good news, and it's about time. I have to admit that there are times when I'm anxious about the future of the planet.
Convaincu.
But I'm convinced that ultimately we will win our fight against climate change and against the destruction of our environment. It's extraordinary what humans can do when we all pull together. Protecting the environment is not just protecting landscapes, it's protecting whole ecosystems, and for that we have to protect biodiversity.
Not just in the north, but across our country, play fundamental roles in our environment. They do work that we all too often take for granted, whether it's beavers that mitigate the risks of fires, floods, and droughts, frogs that control the pests that plague our gardens, or bees, flies, and wasps that pollinate our farmers' fields. When we invest to protect and safeguard biodiversity, we protect those who protect us, our environment, and our livelihoods. In 2018, we launched Canada's Nature Legacy Initiative, which at the time was the single largest investment in nature conservation in Canadian history, and funded projects by organizations and Indigenous communities across the country to protect species at risk and their habitat. Then in 2022, I was here in Montreal for the Nature COP, COP 15, where Canadian leadership, shout out to Stephen Guilbeault, was crucial for the world to agree on ambitious goals, notably that of protecting 30% of lands, 30% of waters around the world by 2030. And because Canada takes this engagement seriously, we announced an investment of $800 million for four major Indigenous-led conservation projects that would help us reach that goal. Last year, we launched the first such project, that of the Great Bear Sea, to protect British Columbia's coastland over an area the size of Ireland. Dallas, it's great to have you here today as well. That same year, we also signed a second agreement in the Northwest Territories to protect over 37 million hectares of land. Well, today, we're taking another step. We're announcing the signing of the SINA project, Finance for Permanence Agreement, between the Government of Canada, the Kiktani Inuit Association, and the Pew Charitable Trusts. With this agreement, we will protect over 3.5% more of Canada's marine area by supporting Inuit-led conservation initiatives to ensure the long-term health of northern environments. In so doing, we're also building an economy based on conservation, creating jobs where Inuit knowledge will be leveraged and valued to protect northern ecosystems, and investing in community infrastructure like the Arctic Bay Small Craft Harbour. Speaking of Arctic Bay, that's where Minister Gary Anasangari, where Minister Gary Anasangari is today for an important announcement. Otherwise, I know he would have loved to have been here celebrating with you all. It is so good to be here today to witness this project take shape and to celebrate this accomplishment with all of you. I have to thank, obviously, the Kiktani Inuit Association, its board, and the negotiators who've made today's announcement possible, as well as the charitable organizations that have taken part.
I would also like to thank my colleague Stephen Guilbeault and Jeanne Leboutier, who also worked very hard to bring us to where we are.
Now, when I first became Prime Minister almost 10 years ago, less than 1% of Canada's oceans were protected. We're now nearing the 17% mark, and I know everyone is going to keep working really hard to reach our goal of protecting 30% of our oceans by 2030. There's lots more work to do, and you will always be able to count on me as your ally. I was working with CPAWS to protect Canada's nature long before working in politics, and I will always, for the rest of my life, be committed to, deeply committed to protecting Canada's lands and waters. But of course, I will also be urging my successor to continue this work, notably by partnering with the Omishkigo people in Ontario to make our fourth Indigenous-led project, Finance for Permanence, a reality. Canada's north is truly a magical place with near mythical animals like narwhals and the famous polar bears who've become an icon for the conservation movement across the globe. By taking action to protect northern ecosystems, we're also protecting these wonders. We're doing it for those who've lived there for countless generations. We're doing it for Canadians, but we're also doing it for people everywhere around the world, including all those yet to be born. Thank you for the work you've done here. Merci, mes amis.
Kuyanami. Thank you, my friends.
I'm now very pleased to let Olayuk, president of the Kiktani Inuit Association, to tell you a bit more from his perspective about this project. Olayuk.
I just want to say thank you in my language first before I start talking about the English language. Again, thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to say a few words of a big celebration that we are very proud of. Again, thank you, Mr. Prime Minister Trudeau, also Nathan Obed, and our president from Nunavut Tungavik, Jeremy Tungale, for coming here, along with Pew Cherubo Trust and Oceans North, of course, and all the staff members that has contributed towards this important initiative that we have of signing the Sinaa Agreement. As you can see, Kikitani is a big area of the region of in Canada, all the way from Grease Fjord all the way down to Sanikiluwap, and that's 13 communities that we represent to ensure that we do our very best to have ocean conservation areas and land. You know, it's important for us. Again, we have a great staff along with Oceans North that went to 13 communities three times to ensure that everybody understands what we're trying to do. And they've done a great job. I just want to wish them very much a great job that they did to ensure that our people understand what we're trying to do and how important it is for us to have a conservation area. And also the team from Government of Canada that has done a great job. We signed in 2023 in October to make an agreement that we have a memorandum of understanding that will ensure that we have a conservation area led by Inuit, led for Inuit, and to ensure that we have something in place. I always say this, that we've been living here in our area for thousands of years, and our people has been very conservative and conservationist for that, and we're very proud of that. Again, we ensure that the Inuit knowledge is part of this important signing of Sinaa Agreement. As you could see, it's very beautiful in our area. This is just one area of picture of our area, but we have a massive, very big area that we are very proud of. And now working on 30 by 30 is something that we really want to see as Inuit and led by Inuit to ensure that these conservation are in place for our future grandkids and great-grandkids that are going to be there. And the Inuit the economic growth that we also want to see within that. We're not leaving out potential economic development in our area, but we want to ensure that our oceans are in place and safe for our people and is there for our people. And of course, for everybody that goes up there, it's a beautiful place. Again, we have Nauksitoqtit that are a big part of our jobs that are there, that will be there. For Tatlokotiwimangat that the Prime Minister also signed in 2019 has done a great job for us. It's something that we're very proud of, that will be there for a long time. And a very good example of how Inuit and the government and the people could work together to ensure we have something that will be here for a long time, that will be recognized by the world. When I went to Impact 5 in Vancouver, that was something that really helped me with the vision that we should have under our region of Qikiqtaaluk. Again, I don't want to forget my board that has supported our goal to have conservation areas. Without the board support, it would be very hard. And to ensure that we do our very best job to have conservation that will help us out in the long run for our people. Having a conservation area is something that will create employment opportunities for us and for every community in Baffin region, which is 13. Yeah, there are three Inuit organizations, and we owe 51% of the people that we represent in that region of Nunavut. You know, for me, it's something that I will be very proud of to ensure that we do this. Again, the ITK, NTI, the Government of Canada, the philanthropic organizations has done a great job working together to ensure that the people who we represent understands what we're trying to do, how it will help us in the long run, and how Inuit could be the lead on any conservation in Canada. This is very important for the whole Canada. As I said, I went to Impact 5. There was 162 different Aboriginal groups that were there. And I understand a lot from that how important it is to have these conservations in Canada to ensure that we are understood around the world too, that Inuit are leaders of their own region, of their own territory. And now when ICPC, I go to these meetings and understand how and the purpose of that. Prime Minister Trudeau hasn't done a great job in 10 years' time as a Prime Minister to ensure he recognizes our people, our Inuit Nunavut. And I'm very proud of that, and along with Natan, that has worked very hard to ensure that this goes ahead. It is important that we unite as Inuit to ensure that we work together, and also with the Aboriginal groups around Canada, that we could work together and set an example to the world that we could certainly run our conservation areas, whether it's on the ocean, inland. Again, I'm very thankful for giving us an opportunity to do this. This is a big milestone for us. This is something that will help us out in the long run and to ensure that we could show the world that we could work together in our world. It's something that I'm very proud to be a Canadian, that we could work together, and we're 40 million plus people that will work together to ensure we recognize each other. And unity is something that will also be a big part of us. As Inuit, we always work together in the community. We always been working together, and that's how we want to see this as a working group to ensure that we have something in place that will help us out, that will increase economic opportunities, increase protection of our ocean and land. And that is what we want to see, and this is very important for us, having signed the Sinaa Agreement. Again, thank you very much, and No, it's something we're very proud of, and we'll still work very hard to represent our people to ensure these agreements are implemented the way it's signed. So thank you very much.
It's such an honor to be here today to pause and celebrate so much. And it has been very articulately already shared. So I will be brief. I'm thrilled to be acknowledging on behalf of the funder partners the hard work that has been done to get to today's announcement, the signing of the SENA agreement. I want to acknowledge President Ulayak, President Obed, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, our esteemed guests, our partners, and also the other funder partners who are with us today and not able to be here as well. My name's Carolyn. I work for a Canadian philanthropic partner to the PFPs that have been mentioned and for communities and species that don't have voices. So I am very thrilled, and especially because 2 years ago at the COP announcement here in Montreal, when Prime Minister Trudeau announced $800 million for Indigenous-led conservation on behalf of the Government of Canada, I was at home watching the live stream with a newborn in my lap. So I'm thrilled to be able to be present today. On my way leaving Vancouver, I heard the very welcome sound of a migrating songbird. She comes every year, I know her song. She only stays a few weeks, and then she travels north on an incredible journey that is epic, frankly. The journey to get to today's announcement's also been epic. I want to acknowledge 10 strong years of Inuit-led governance, a vision that has been rooted from community consent that is very important to us. The Kikitani Inuit Association really deserves a lot of commendation for their clear vision and for the pathway that they have led us on to get to today's announcement. Today, I represent the private philanthropic partners, and we share our gratitude and our excitement. The PFP model, the Project Finance for Permanence model, I even struggle to say it, it's not a sexy title, but it is a very thoughtful model. And one of the reasons that I'd like to emphasize how thoughtful it is because it's rooted in strong governance. It has a strong financial model behind it. There's durable policy, and most importantly, there is community consent and vision. And a lot of time has been put into ensuring those 13 communities understand what we are working towards and what will be done that will affect their lives and their communities in the upcoming years as the agreement is being implemented. Philanthropic partners have brought $70 million collectively to catalyze the $200 million announced today and 2.5 years ago. This is a greater match than 4-to-1, and I just want to acknowledge that PFP model itself is going to be something that will result in the whole indeed being greater than the sum of the parts. Public-private partnerships like this don't happen very often, especially in the conservation and economic development and reconciliation communities that we are celebrating today. As President Ulayak explained, I think that today's announcement also takes a meaningful step towards implementation of 30% by 2030 protected and Canada's goals overall. But SENA is so much more than that. It brings many jobs today and into the future to the region. It brings infrastructure so that guardians have a secure, healthy, and durable place to do their work, so that in turn eyes and ears on the ground are watching and stewarding and caring. And it will also implement the Kikitani Truth Commission's recommendations. In short, this agreement is so many things. That songbird that I mentioned earlier will soon fly north to join many millions of other waterfowl and migrating birds. We are living in tricky times that are compounded by the climate and biodiversity crisis. She will experience much change in the lifetime of her and her generations that come after her. So it's essential, I think, that we work together to create apply creative and nimble solutions to these crises. I see this in the SENA agreement and in the goodwill that the partners who've signed it have brought. I think it really honors an Inuit-led vision, and I think that that's something that also that all Canadians will benefit from. And the polar bears, the narwhals, the waterfowl, the peri-caribou, maybe the lichen, they don't care about project for finance for permanence. They don't really care about the financial models or the governance that has got us to this place. They care about clean air, clean water. They care about having habitat that's healthy so that they can raise their young. These are things that as humans, I think we ought to remember that we also need and care about so that we can survive. So that year over year, we can ensure that there's health to the ecosystems and the landscapes, the air and the water that we all rely on, so our children and grandchildren can thrive. So I just want to hold my hands up, as I've said, and I will continue to say thank you to the Inuit-led vision that has gotten us to this place, and I look forward to the next 10 years, which will not always be easy, but together I know we can achieve so much. Oh,
Mondays can be a tough day, but would you like something to brighten up your Monday afternoon? Well, tune in to my show, Dark Glasses, on CFRC 101.9. My name's Daniel Wolf, and the show is now in its 14th year with a mixture of mainly jazz, but also blues, folk, some pop, even retro pop, and the occasional interview. So that's Dark Glasses, Mondays at 2 p.m.
KPP Concerts presents a stacked lineup of shows this winter in partnership with CFRC 101.9 FM, featuring a mix of big-name acts and some local faves as well. On March 8th, Montreal punks The Anti-Queens hit the stage in celebration of International Women's Day. Then, on March 14th, don't miss Kingston's Good Times supergroup, Rocket Surgery. On March 16th, the Great Big C's Sean McCann hits the Spire, and the Mahones rage the stage on St. Patrick's Day. On March 20th, the Cancer Bats return to town, and on March 22nd, Canadian pop sensation and Queens alum Devin Cole puts on a show. And on March 29th, don't miss the sweet sounds of Dom Lewis. Unless noted, all KPP shows co-presented by CFRC 101.9 FM take place at the Broom Factory. For full info and tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
Good morning, Kingston. This is your indie wake-up call. Playing anything new and everything indie. Garage rock, hip-hop, folk, punk, and electropop. New, comedian, and even local. Indie Wake Up handles your morning. Here for you, Kingston. Weekday mornings from 8 to 10. On the one, the only, CFRC 101.9 FM.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station? Well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
Sakura nagayami, utap kilo lang tugu. Mama. Suli nanti siulang turu Kalau turu Palau ga hangit turu Tea hangit turu Vienna sausage hangit turu Beef jerky hangit turu Kalau turu Suli Unuku nagi yami Suli nanti siulang turu Hanulu
Today is a day to listen. Radio stations all across Canada are elevating the voices of Indigenous people in Canada, like Tanya Talaga, an Ojibwe author and a visionary for Canada's reconciliation journey. Tanya fuses messages of truth, hope, and Indigenous inclusion through her words. In times of grief and mourning, Indigenous peoples turn to stories, culture, and tradition to heal.
Huzu, Anin. Tanya Talaga Nigisnakas, Ka Musko Pimojija Pineshish Nigisnakas. My name is Tanya Talaga in English. My name in Anishinaabewewin is Little Bird with Big Wings, carries a heavy burden. We've been through so much for a long time, but lately it's been very heavy. And so I'm thinking about the Anishinaabe Seven Grandfather Teachings. These teachings are a guide. They are seven truths, and these teachings are handed down by our ancestors. And you know, while there are hundreds and hundreds of different First Nations from coast to coast to coast, many of us share a version of the Seven Grandfather Teachings. The teachings are respect, humility, love, honesty, bravery, wisdom, and truth. Without these teachings, we'd be lost. I wanted to tell you a little bit, too, about the teaching of love. And I can't think of a better person to help me illustrate that teaching other than Elder Sam Ashipanenskam. Now, I'm going to talk to you today not about romantic love, but about a love that comes from a love of community, of caring for one another, a love for our people. And I got to tell you, too, that I often visit Sam when I'm in Thunder Bay. And we'll often go to Tim Hortons. And when you first meet Sam, it feels like you've always known him. He's got an ease about him. He's got a warm, deep voice and a very subtle, wicked sense of humor. Sam is always there at Timmy's. Everyone knows him there. And they also know that if you're down on your luck, if you're in need of food, some coffee, a gentle ear, Sam is there for you. But like many First Nations people, Sam's also had a lot of loss in his life because of racism, because of colonization. His road to love and to peace, it has not been an easy one. I know for a fact that he works on it every single day. And I know his motivation comes from his own source of love, his love for his family and for his people, and trying to make sense of the Anishinaabe's place in this world. And so when I ask him, why is it important that we live our life listening to these seven teachings? This is what he said. Well, you got to have some kind of guidance. When we were given this life, we were given instructions on how we should live our life, how we should remember our roles and our responsibilities. how we are all tied to nature, and we're all tied to each other. Every person born is part of the continuum of life. Now, I just want you to know that Sam is a survivor of 3 Indian residential schools. And as you know, 150,000 of our children were taken away from their parents and their homes and their communities and sent to the government-funded, church-run schools. There were more than 140 of these schools across Canada. The goal was assimilation, to turn all First Nation, Métis, Inuit into good Canadian citizens. But we know the truth of what happened in these places. We know they did so much damage, intergenerational trauma, that we continue to live with. Sam was 12 when he went to his first of 3 schools. You should know that one of the schools he went to was St. Anne's on the James Bay coast. It was a notorious place that had a homemade electric chair used to discipline the students. And he also went to Cecilia Jeffrey, and that's where his cousin, Cheney Wenjack, also was a student. And so when I asked Sam, how do you do it? How did you survive? He told me it's because when he was young, living in the bush with his parents and his family, he learned everything that he needed to know, how to live on the land, how to be in lockstep with the earth and the air and the water and the trees and the animals. He learned his language. He learned his teachings. He had a good foundation. He said to me, that's what kept me whole. And I have to tell you, the teachings that Sam gives, those are the teachings that keep so many of us whole now. And those teachings are a commitment that Sam makes every single day, a commitment to love, a commitment to understand, and a commitment to make Canada a better place for all of our people. And with that, I'm going to say Chi Ming Wich.
Today is a day to listen. To learn more about how you can do something, visit DowneyWenjack.ca.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centres Canada in making a difference today.
Try. Keep it spinning.
The continuing story of today's global music.
Welcome to World Beat Canada.
Music makes us happy. So it should come as no surprise that music is actually